Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, good friends. January 2014. It's over, the partying. The holidays are over. The new year's begun. That's New Year's resolutions. That's all the things you were going to do that you didn't do, but you're going to do them this year. And I know, if you listen to this show, that one of them way at the top of your list is health. And the first thing you're going to do, I think statistically, the number one most health-related New Year's resolution is lose weight. So today's show is about losing weight, but not the stuff you can get on any show. Not what you can get on the internet, not what you can read in a book, not what you can get from YouTube. What I'm going to have you do over the next hour is piece it together, concepts. So this show is not about the laws governing weight loss or the 20 best things you can do to lose weight. It's about concepts so you can make weight loss easy, specific to you, no matter what type of problem you've got. And of course, as is typical with the show, there's no shortcuts. There's just the joy of the journey. There's just your depth of understanding, and that's what this show is about. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, of course, you can't. But if you can, get to that website. Why? Because, as always, I've got the pictures. One picture tells a thousand stories. So I teach through pictures, and that's fantastic. And, of course, the shows are archived. We've got, like, what, 105, 131? I can't keep count anymore. You've got the Encyclopedia Britannica of deeper concepts. So pat yourself on the back, because this isn't about the data. It's about the concepts. This isn't about selling herbs. It's about the concepts, concepts that you apply so you can navigate yourself. So it's January, what, January 4th today, and you want to lose weight because now you're going to make the time because you made that resolution. First concept to understand about weight loss. This is going to blow your mind. You got to stretch. Weight loss is an issue if your body is in and under inflammatory stress. Now, I've brought this up on past shows. Oxidative profiles, the amount of free radical damage systemically. Trying to get a sense in your portfolio of what your inflammatory picture looks like. Boy, when was the last time someone tied that together? No, everybody's pushing the herb to make you burn fat faster. I guess I shouldn't knock it, but I barely see it work. I've tried it. I've tried it with everything. I've given it to clients and this and that, and it's not impressive to me. I don't care what the studies say. Scientists could tell you and prove that the sky is pink. There's no shortcut. The shortcut is in the understanding. So stretch your mind around this concept. If you're trying to lose weight, the rate at which you're going to jump into it is a function of your oxidative stress, meaning free radical damage, meaning get to the website and look at the picture. That is picture number 8 of a cell that's attacked by free radicals. Looks like a big cell. If you're driving on the road, a cell is a grape. A Thompson seedless, well, a Thompson green grape with seeds. A seeded Thompson grape. They don't exist anymore, I don't think, but just pretend the grape has seeds like the old grapes used to. And in that skin, of course, is the membrane of the cell. Under the membrane is that gooey part underneath, and in the center of that grape is the DNA. The chromosomes, the genes, and then the DNA. and, of course, the nucleotides making up the DNA. Free radical damage. Bear with me. I know many of you have heard me scream this before. Free radical damage is simply per unit time that cell is bombarded with lots of electron-hungry, electron-deficient, different types of compounds, moieties, we call them, little biochemical entities out there looking to steal electrons away from your cell. That's a free radical. And it'll get that electron from the membrane. It'll take that electron from organelles in the cytoplasm. It'll take that electron away from your nucleotide sequences in the DNA. It will eat your cell per unit time, maybe a million times a day, times a gazillion cells. Free radicals ravage your body, only to be neutralized by your body's inherent mechanisms, particularly glutathione, intracellular glutathione, number one, to the rescue, supplemented by CoQ10 and lipoic acid and all these other things that you can purchase in various companies and believe that they're going to help you, which they will, except that your body's really fundamentally neutralizing these attacks. Now, the balance of trade between those free radical attackers and your body's ability to neutralize them is your inflammatory profile. Problem. Big problem here. If the inflammatory profile, as is true of most of us, is too much on the side of inflammation, there's an immune system cell. It's called a macrophage. Macrophage is a white blood cell. A white blood cell in your intercellular space, so the white blood cell that floats around in between your organs, in between the cells of your organs. Those white blood cells are called macrophages. As I've said before in past shows, those macrophages are little warriors that come in and sweep out everything. Parasites, bacteria, dead viruses, dead cells, dead macrophages, you name it. The macrophage is the pit bull police department of the intercellular space. If you give them a job to do, if you give them lots of work because your inflammatory profile is a little too imbalanced on the wrong side of the fence, the macrophage will start releasing another compound called a cytokine. And there are many types of cytokines. Two problems if your cytokine production goes way up. Number one, the cytokine will travel all the way up to your brain, cross the blood-brain barrier, or perhaps it'll be produced in the brain. And once it's produced, it will interfere with what we call your leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N, your leptin receptors. Now, leptin is an interesting compound. Look at picture number one. Go to picture number one. Leptin is a compound that's produced in your fat cells. So remember, even if you're skinny, you have fat cells. If you're fat, those cells, which were once not so bloated, are bloated out. But we've all got fat cells, whether we're very skinny or very overweight. What happens is that these fat cells, as they start to grow, as you gain weight, they produce leptin. And leptin goes up into the brain, crosses the blood-brain barrier, goes into the hypothalamus, of which some of you call the crown chakra, the central intelligence agency of the body. And as that leptin hits the hypothalamus, it gets blocked by the cytokine. You become leptin resistant. That's the problem, because the job of leptin is to turn off your appetite. The job of leptin is to give you a sense of satiety. It's nature's way of saying, hey, dude, you got more than enough fat, more than enough extra storage, more than enough of what you need to just go light on the food, more of what you need to maybe hibernate through the winter, get away in times of drought, whatever. And this leptin now isn't being utilized by the body, so you don't get a sense of fullness. your appetite just keeps going up and up and up instead of cutting itself off as you're gaining weight. So even though now you're gaining weight because you're leptin resistant, because you're producing so much cytokine, because you're so inflammatory for all the reasons I've discussed on a multitude of shows, you just keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. That is a driver, a big driver. Put that at the top of your list, leptin resistance. Right next to it is insulin resistance. Now, I'm going to do a show on diabetes fairly soon because it's just an awful mess that so many people are being told they're hopelessly and terminally type 2 diabetic. That is just absolute garbage nonsense. You've got oodles and oodles and oodles of books out there, medical doctors, scientists, nutritionists, this, that, telling you that type 2 diabetes is completely curable, and it certainly is. Not to think that is nonsense. You got to be in the Middle Ages, honestly, to believe that. We're going to do a show on insulin, hyperglycemia, and how to fix your diabetes. But now, just understand this. That when your cytokine production, for the same reasons, because you've gone so pro-inflammatory, when your cytokine production starts going up, it interferes with what we call insulin transduction. Now, that's a big, snappy word. If you go to picture number 18, take the time if you can. If you're out there on the road, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. When you get home, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, get on the archives, listen to the show again. These shows are designed for you to listen to it three times because it's worth it. Make that your New Year's resolution. Get an archive and really learn how to navigate yourself. Look at picture number 18. On the left-hand side, it shows a cell that's got an insulin receptor. And once the cell membrane binds the insulin, you're going to have tyrosine phosphorylation via the PI3 kinase enzyme, yada, yada, yada. And out the other side, you're going to see a GLUT4 receptor. And what it basically comes down to, this easy to understand picture, is once insulin binds to the membrane of the cell, another receptor for glucose, that which binds glucose, opens up and lets the glucose in. So basically, insulin knocks on the door of the membrane. Once the insulin gets in, then the glucose that's knocking on the door on the other side gets let in. Right? So we understand. You have sugar. That sugar goes up in the blood. That sugar has got to get out of the blood into your cell so it can produce ATP ultimately. And to do that, we have to bind insulin so the glucose gets let into the cell. Very, very simple. When you produce too much cytokine, again, that pro-inflammatory mess, what happens? What happens is the insulin transduction, that whole signaling pathway you're looking at. In fact, they named the picture there, insulin signaling pathway for glucose transport chain. That whole process, for reasons I'm not going to get into now, gets corrupted. The process doesn't work. And guess what? You can't let the glucose in because the insulin doesn't work. You become insulin resistant. So what are the two consequences then of a pro-inflammatory existence? You could be a jet fuel mechanic at LAX working double overtime because the money's so good, because you need it for your family. And now you're working 75 hours a week, 80 hours a week. You're doing the job of two people. You're a mom, but you've got a full-time job. You're doing the job of two people. Just the day-to-day stress can put your oxidative profile off the chart. And all of a sudden, you're gaining weight. And all of a sudden, you're stuffing your face. And all of a sudden, every free moment you get, you're ravenously hungry. And all of a sudden, that year where you work double overtime, thinking that you're producing more caloric expenditure, you're another 40 pounds heavier. Why? Because your oxidative profile, your free radical profile, did two things. It made you leptin resistant. So you keep eating, and insulin resistant, And what's the consequence of insulin resistance? You make more insulin. You have to put more insulin into your blood. When your pancreas secretes insulin and the insulin doesn't work, a message. Remember, every entity in the body, the hormonal system, it operates on feedback loops. So everybody's talking to everybody. It's like Facebook. It literally is. The ultimate Facebook is your hormonal system. Everything's talking to everything. Everybody knows everybody's business, and nobody's hiding anything except, of course, the enemy. And there you have it. Two reasons controlling why you may have trouble losing weight. Now, look at how that plays out relative to you get up. It's January 4th. It's a nice sunny day. What was it, 84 degrees yesterday in Orange County? And you decide to start exercising and getting healthy and working out. And much to your dismay, a month later, you haven't lost a pound. That's not what they're telling you in the Atkins diet. It's not what they're telling you in the Scarsdale diet. It's not what they're telling you in the Zone diet. Not really. They might allude to it vaguely. So let's drive this one home. You have to have a sense of what your oxidative profile is. Now, in so many words, that simply means that what you have to do practically. So you're listening to the show, perhaps for the first time. This show's going over your head. You're frowning to understand it. You're thinking about purchasing the archives. You're trusting that I'm telling you something that you should hear, and that is that this is what you've got to master. Not what herb do I take as much as what herb do I take to enhance my conceptual understanding of the reality of my physiology. That's the proper utilization of the herbs. Don't dumb it down. You can't afford to. You'll spend way more and get way less in the long run. So you're confused. This is all you have to know. That if you engage in whatever weight loss program you decide to engage yourself within, you've got to get healthy. Yeah, that's just common sense. But that's not what you see happen. What you see happen when people start dieting is it's week one, week two, month one, month two, month three, month four, month five, and off 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years of physical and emotional abuses to their being, to their body, on every level. And don't think emotions don't make lots of free radicals. On the basis of all of these damages over weeks, months, decades, people are surprised when by 4 months they've only lost 5 pounds. And they get discouraged. And then they go to nutritionists and they go to doctors and they try all sorts of really cool different herbs to make them lose weight faster. And then they get all disgusted. And then maybe with one they get to first base on it, but then they stop losing weight. And it's just one big, stupid, circular, idiotic campaign. Don't do that to yourself. Just take the time to sit back, kick back, and understand what I'm talking about. If you give yourself the time to just get healthy, how do you do that? I put 135 shows. I think that's the number now. Listen to this show. Listen to the other shows. Get yourself healthy and give yourself room. You see, knowledge allows you to endure the journey. Bottom line is, you could be as ignorant and innocent about your health as an accountant. You could be as just absolutely not understanding as deeply as that word means. And if you just give yourself time and get healthy, weight loss is a pot. It's a large pot. And every single week, you put another piece into the pot. And after a month or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, you've accumulated enough in that pot, and you know what? You're losing weight. And that's the first thing you have to understand. So there it is to you philosophically. There it is to you scientifically. What I'm doing is directing your head to two massive concepts that in the functionality, in the weight loss day to day, we're all overlooking. And that's why so many people fail. Bingo. Well, good for you. You got that one. Now, let's talk about a few other things. Fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. No one's going to argue. I don't care if it's McDougal or Fit for Life or whoever. Nobody is going to argue that if you're ingesting too many carbohydrates. So now you're sitting there and you're saying you're at lunch with your friends. You don't want to starve, but you want to lose weight. You're on vacation. You don't want to starve, but you want to lose weight. You're just doing day to day. You're making your dinner at home. You don't want to starve, but you want to lose weight. Okay. You've got to make a decision. The decision is simple. You have meat, animal protein, or protein from grains. Hate to say that. But carbs, and of course, some of those carbs have protein in them. Not complete proteins, but nonetheless. And then fats. Everybody that faces the dietary decision-making process, I don't care whose book you're reading and how you think you're going to do it. You've got to make a choice between the ratio of animal protein, grains, carbs, and fats. Now, here's the key. No matter how much carb you think you can afford to have. So you're going to get a variety of consensus on this. You're going to have people like the Primal Diet people and the Paleo Diet people. And now Dr. Perlmutter. And a whole host, including people like myself. And we're going to say, watch those carbs. But here's the truth. Guys like McDougal, Pritikin, will swear that it's not carbs. Thus the confusion. And that's what we're addressing today. So here's concept number three, right? Leptin resistance, insulin resistance. And now, what is this unfathomable observation that we make? That in fact, people lose weight according to who knows what. There's no one way to lose weight. There's only a right way for you. And while everybody's trying to say, do it this way, somebody else pops up and says, no, do it the other way. And everybody makes that claim that their way is the way. Well, I'll tell you something first of all. That, to me, is not worth what it costs. You see, people that write books, you got to understand the concept behind writing a book. You really got to get the inside track here. When you write a book, to sell the book, what you have to capitalize on is that people are looking for gurus. Most people are sheep. Most people are tended by their shepherd. And that's the way it works. They don't want to assume responsibility. They just want to be told what to do. They'd rather be told to do something wrong than think for themselves. And that's the way, bottom line, a lot of people are. And that's the vantage point from which a lot of people write books. Dogma. Dogma kills. It's not worth what it costs. And yet, everybody that publishes a book gets dogmatic about their way. And what happens to the public? The public gets confused. And that confusion results in poor compliance. You try something like the paleo diet for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and there's always this thing in the back of your brain eating at you. Because when you go to Barnes & Noble or some bookstore or you cruise on Amazon Books, there's somebody else with equal credentials and his own TV or radio show saying, no, that guy's wrong, do it this way. Of course, we don't say that guy's wrong. That's not politically correct, and we are a politically correct nation. A politically correct nation of people that don't take a stance, and of course, that's the problem. Don't say the other guy's wrong. Just keep screaming your propaganda. And that's the problem. Because the truth is that different strokes for different folks. Now, here's the way you have to look at it. You have to look at it that the paleo, primal, meat and fat routine work for some people because it's right for their body type. And other people can lose weight on carbs. Now, this was the purpose of real science, to come in with a law so riveting, a law so universal that nobody can argue it. And this is the point. Anytime you want to get to home base, anytime you want to hit the home run, anytime you want to do something, lay out a strategy, you have to consider two things. You have to consider universal physiological law, and you have to consider your choices contoured to your body type. What does this mean? It means some of the choices you make as you lose weight are universal considerations, and some of them are specific to the person. Now, if you can wrap your mind around that, then you can understand how to integrate what it takes to lose weight without getting so tripped up. And you have to know which is what. Well, that's why I do this show. Because there's one law that governs weight loss that no one can argue with, from the meat people to the vegetarian people. And that is this: that at any given moment in the day, when your insulin is at too high a concentration in the blood, when there's simply too much blood sugar, when your blood sugar is going above 100, when it's not down there in that range of 80 to 90, when your blood sugar is not at 75, 80, 85, 90, and you're coherent, and you're eloquent, and you're speaking off the top of your head, and you're not stuttering, and you don't have the shakes, and you're not fatigued, and you can go sprint a 440 around the track, when really you can sustain your blood sugar at a solid 80, whether you're exerting yourself intensely or resting, you're going to burn more fat. Now, if you can do that on carbs, if you can get up and have two bowls of oatmeal, salute to you. Go ahead and have carbs. But if you do that, and your blood sugar is up there at 160, 140, and it's up there at 160, 140, you get that sugar high off a carb, beware, and so on and so forth. And that's the point. You've got to alter your physiology so that you maintain your blood sugar in the area of about 80, give or take. Because if you keep your blood sugar low, your insulin will be low. And no one will argue with the reality that high insulin, because of high blood sugar, will cause all your fat to stay as fat and all your carb to be stored as fat. Now, that's basic, essential cell physiology. And no one can argue with that. No one can have a different opinion about it. No one can say a thing. I go into your blood, no matter what you're doing to lose weight, and I measure your blood sugar and it's 140, you have considerably, dramatically slowed down your weight loss. And if you're doing that on meat, which you wouldn't, but if you were, change your diet. And if you're doing that on two bowls of oatmeal in the morning, then change your diet. And what does this allow for? It allows us to realize that some people, I'll give you an example, A bloods. A blood types tend to get minimal insulin spikes when they eat carbs. O bloods tend to get maximal insulin spikes. Fast oxidizers, check the site. I've put a couple of examples on the pictures. Fast oxidizers tend to get high blood sugar spikes. Slow oxidizers, eating carbs at multiple times per day in small portions, tend to get lower spikes. Slow oxidizers, again, maybe I should call your attention to the picture. Look at the last two pictures on the site there. Picture number 20. Take a moment here. You see that thing, that picture there, oxidative system? We've got fast oxidizers. We've got mixed oxidizers and slow oxidizers. Do you see how the fast oxidizer burns carbs too quickly? Inefficient energy production does well on animal protein and fatty foods. If you're a fast oxidizer, and check my other shows to find out who you are. But if you're a fast oxidizer and you're eating carbs, you're going to get that blood sugar spike. If you're an O blood, you probably, or very often, you're a fast oxidizer. You're going to get that blood sugar spike. At the same time, if you're a slow oxidizer, see how it says aversion to animal proteins and fatty foods? A slow oxidizer eats that big piece of meat any time of day, and it sits in his stomach for 2 days. A fast oxidizer has a 14-ounce ribeye at 10 p.m. at night, and a glass of wine and sleeps like a baby. And before he leaves the restaurant, that big chunk of beef, rare beef, is out of his system. That's the difference between the two. Either way, the point is, law number three, this insulin thing, the rule is, after the meal, check your blood sugar. Get to know throughout the day where your blood sugar is. Very important. Why? Because burning fat for weight loss is a process we call gluconeogenesis. Your body takes the fat, and it takes the fat, and it has to dissolve that fat, and then that fat goes over to the liver, and then the liver converts it into sugar. So you eat your own fat, lipolysis. You dissolve your fat, and it runs over to the liver, and then the liver takes that fat, converts it to glucose, and dumps it into the blood. It's called gluconeogenesis, which brings us to law number four. And that is that it takes time to do that. You may spend 4 months. If you're not particularly healthy, you may spend 4 months figuring out how to convert your fat into glucose. What? It's an enzymatic process. There's a whole string. There's like 11 steps or so far and so forth. The gluconeogenic pathways in the liver, in the mitochondria of the hepatocyte, engage in a long process. And you know what? If you're feeding yourself sugar all the time, carbs all the time, you don't have to care about that process. You're dumping glycogen into the blood, and when you run out of glycogen in the liver, or you run out of glycogen in the muscle cell, or you're not eating sugar, your body's got this reserve stored sugar. By the time you run out of all these things, you're eating more carb, and you never have this problem. So your liver is smart. Your liver says, I don't need to make the enzymes required for gluconeogenesis. And so your liver, in a sense, in this capacity, goes to sleep. It's got better things to do. Yes, the liver is under the control of higher intelligences from the neck up. And all these hormonal interplays, a symphony of conversation on your own body's Facebook, tells the liver, don't bother making these enzymes. Then you go on a diet on January 4th, and you cut your carbs, you cut your calories, and you cut your carbs. And what do? You get exhausted. You pass out. You feel terrible. You feel nauseous. You feel like you're going to throw up. You swear off dieting. You look for some fat-burning herb that's going to save the day. You listen to somebody that says, eat all the carbs you want. You do Weight Watchers instead. You just decide to eat pizza all day, but count your calories. Lame. Not the way to go. You want to prime that liver. You want to give that liver a kick in the seat of its pants. Gradually, we'll get into how to engage it in the initial phase, okay? We'll get into that in a moment. But you want to be able to engage that liver and start prompting it to produce its own enzymes over a period of days, weeks, months. Could take months. If you've been sedentary, if you've been ill, if you're in this terrible space where your illness is very much linked to obesity, and you know you got to get that fat off, and you're trying desperately to do so, and you're believing all these nonsensical pathways, rather than giving yourself a year, maybe, that's right, it could take a year to get yourself into a fat-burning state. Could take 6 months. Could take 4 months. And, of course, this is depressing because we all remember before the wedding, before we had kids, before we were locked down into the day-to-day of existence, when we were not teens, when we were played at the football team, when we were prom queen. We remember those times when all we had to do after we partied hard is just stop eating, work out, take it off, and lo and behold, that 20, 30 pounds was gone. We could do it really fast. And we remember that when at 50 or 60 or 70 we have a life-threatening condition, or we're just at that point where we just want to return to the good old days. We get our hopes up. We pay somebody to navigate it, and it's 4 months later, and we haven't lost a pound. Doesn't it feel good to understand why? That's the proper use of science. Proper use of science is to teach you why. If you're new to the show, there is a lot of whys on my other 135 shows. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Go to the literature section. With every show comes lots of pictures. We teach by pictures. Spend a little dough for the archives. Study the archives. Study it very closely. Listen to them time and time again until you really digest them. And what you'll get is a sense of how to navigate yourself to a better state, a more financially profitable state. In other words, minimum investment, higher yield. You'll understand how to eat. You'll understand how to use those herbs when you purchase those herbs. You'll understand how to navigate. That's what we're not giving people. Enough navigation. Okay. There's a concept then. It's January 4th, Saturday. It's time to lose weight. You're going to start cutting your carbs. You're going to start stabilizing your blood sugar. And you're going to notice that you have to do it gradually. And why are you doing it gradually? Why, even if you just cut your carbs a little bit, are you tired? Why the first 2 weeks that you cut your carbs are you falling asleep in the middle of the day? You can't understand it. You tell yourself you have no energy. You're telling yourself you have no energy. Try this. Check your blood sugar as you cut those carbs. You'll see your blood sugar is dipping way too low. If you cut those carbs, you can't exist anymore because your blood sugar is hitting under 80. It's going to 75. It's going to 70, maybe even 65. The first day you cut those carbs, you might even sweat, get the shakes, get hypoglycemic. Now you understand. Now you've got a tool. Leptin resistance, insulin resistance, the time it takes to make the enzymes in the liver to stimulate gluconeogenesis. That ratio of animal protein, fat, and carbohydrate. No one will argue, irregardless of how much carb you eat, from Harvey Diamond and Fit for Life all the way over to Dr. McDougall and his concepts. He quotes studies of people that were curing diabetes with white rice. Truly, eating white rice and curing diabetes type 2. I'll trust the man. I don't think he could be that far off. I don't even think he misinterpreted the study. He's got a clinic. It's successful. He helps people. He's sincere. And what does it tell us? It tells us that how you ratio out animal protein, carbs, and fat varies from person to person to person to person. Of course, the Chinese and the Ayurvedics have figured this out as many thousand years ago as you want to go. 4,000, 10,000, 20,000, make that your own choice. But it's in their literature from way back. It's called typing. Hit my past shows on typing. If you're a fast oxidizer or a slow oxidizer, if you're a blood versus a B blood versus an O blood, my advice to you, to make it, I think, simple, find out whether you're a fast oxidizer and a slow oxidizer. Add in your blood type. Eat the very beneficial foods from the blood type diet. That's Peter Diadamo, Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I think he's made a wonderful contribution. And then tend to cut the carbs. You don't have to kill the carbs, but what do you have to do above all? You already know. You got to measure your blood sugar. All right. You got it down. If you just get this from this show, you're way ahead. Absolutely way ahead on the game. Yes, you are. Now, let's bring in another concept here. Let's talk about the rules of engagement. Let's say today is your first day. and you already know you're going to cut the sugars and the carbs, well, fine. Do that. Do that as long as you don't get low blood sugar. Now, how are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? Probably you're going to cut the sugar and the carbs at lunchtime, because that's when you feel like you can mojo it through. In the morning, now we're assuming you're really starting from the pit, but lots of people are. Remember, it's January 4th. Since Thanksgiving, you've put on 10 pounds and you had 30 to lose anyway. You might be a good 30 to 60 to 100 pounds overweight. So what you're going to do is start cutting the carbs at lunch. Go carb free at lunch. Carve it up. Have that pancake oatmeal breakfast. Have that croissant with that toast. Do whatever you're going to do. Have that Coke at 10 a.m. You're not going to live that way, but start it out that way. Don't kill yourself. Don't beat yourself up. This isn't about torture. This is about intelligence. And then it comes to lunchtime. That's when I want you to do your power lunch. I want you to eat a hearty lunch, but I want you to get rid of the carbs for lunch. Eat meat in a salad. Do animal protein in a salad. That doesn't mean beef. It could mean fish. It could mean chicken. Just eat some sort of vegetable and some sort of meat. And if it can't be beef, because beef or red lamb, red meat doesn't agree with you, it's too heavy, perhaps you're an A blood, perhaps you're a slow oxidizer, then don't eat animal protein. Just eat a salad. Eat a little carb. But preferably, if chicken or fish can find its way into your lifestyle, and beef isn't your ticket, have just chicken and fish and a little salad for lunch. And then at dinner, go back to your carb thing. Now, that's reasonable, and you can do that. And as soon as you get used to doing that, meaning as soon as you don't have low blood sugar after lunch and between dinner, I want you to do the same thing, but then I want you to start lightening your dinners. I want you to start lightening your dinners. So first thing you're going to do is cut the carb at lunch, not at breakfast, not at dinner. And then you're going to get to the next step, which is just do the same thing, but lighten your dinners. Maybe even skip your dinners and go to bed hungry. Yes, you work, you're busy, they only give you a half hour for lunch. Tough. It's just plain tough. If you want to do this, you have to have some discipline. Everybody can brown bag it. I don't care if you have to go out to the restaurant. You can still get your animal protein in your salad. And it doesn't matter where you go. See, there's absolutely no excuse. Lunch is where I want you to be disciplined. And then your next step is same routine, but I want you to lighten your dinners. I want you to cut the carbs out of the dinner so that your blood sugar never goes above 80 or 90. So that means lunch and dinner now, your blood sugar is sustained. You're just hogging it at breakfast. You're having that croissant at breakfast. And maybe your next step will be cut out your dinner altogether. And when you cut out your dinner altogether and you challenge yourself and you get exhausted and you get tired, guess what? You're going to go to sleep. And at night, it's time to go to sleep. Maybe you'll go to bed a little bit earlier. Now, I promise you, I don't care who you are, if you follow these instructions, you're going to start feeling in the evening and into the morning, you're going to start to feel yourself burn a little fat. I don't care what problem you think you have. I don't care if you're low thyroid. I don't care if you're low adrenal. I don't care if you're leptin resistant. I don't care if somebody's told you you're hypoglycemic. I don't care if someone's told you you're diabetic. It doesn't matter. I told you about those principles so you could acknowledge your challenges. But now this is the functional part. This is where you forget all the science and you just do. I want you to get in touch with what we call the fat burning state. All of us have felt what it's like to burn fat. Now, I want to make a distinction here. Burning fat does not mean starving. Burning fat does not mean satiety, meaning you ate a meal and that meal feels good and you aren't thinking about food. Your belly is just nice and happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something in between. So we have satiety, we have what I'm talking about, the high fat burning state, and then we have starvation. You will not lose weight in satiety, and you will not lose weight in starvation. And that's where the old-fashioned YMCA wisdom comes in. No pain, no gain. It hurts a little bit to lose weight. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But here's the beauty. If you get into that feeling of regulating your blood sugar, bringing down your oxidative stress, making sure you're not too leptin resistant or less leptin resistant, making sure you're less insulin resistant, starting to build on your gluconeogenic pathways, starting to understand how to ratio out your animal protein with your fats with your carbs, and then starting to cut down, you're going to start to feel the fat burning state. And guess what? The fat burning state feels good. There is a little tinge. There is a little bit of discomfort. It's like when you're working out and you get that extra pump. You get that extra contraction in the muscle. And you could have opted out of that, but you didn't, and you did it, and you feel good. That's the fat burning state. That's what Barry Sears called the zone. The zone is the high fat burning state. The zone is the fat, high fat burning state that's producing the good eicosanoids, which means that your fats have to be the omega-3s. Not the garbage fats, check my other shows, but the good fats. And not lots of good fat. And mind you, at a certain point, like good old Weight Watchers, right, there's a mentality that says, listen, it doesn't matter what you eat. You can eat pizza all day long. You can go on the ice cream diet. But if your number's 1,200 calories a day or 1,500 calories a day, and you stay under that, you're going to burn fat. Don't forget that. Don't be deceived by people that tell you, books that tell you, wow, you can drop 50 pounds, 60 pounds. You can get down to 10% body fat. Sure you can. You're 60 years old. You're 50 pounds overweight. A little human growth hormone, a little bit of Cambogia, a little bit of, what's the other one? I can't even remember. Green coffee extract. Specialized diets. Yeah, drop the 50. You don't even feel it. That's nonsense. Good old-fashioned concept here. You've got, at a certain point, to count calories. It doesn't guarantee you. But if you get all your other ducks in line, it'll guarantee you, once you start limiting your calories, that you're going to burn fat. And you have to understand what it feels like to be in the zone, the high-fat-burning state. And to do that in that carb, animal protein, fat ratio, those fats have to include those omega-3s. So those flax oils, the fish oils, so on and so forth, out of your foods, not your supplements. Try to get your fats out of your foods, or you're going to use too much. So there's another one, the fat burning state that your consciousness attaches to, that allows you to celebrate that wonderful feeling of being in the high fat burning state. Now, you know what you've done if you've listened to all these things, and of course you're getting your sleep. You know what you've done? You've minimized your cortisol production. You've maximized your thyroid production. You've balanced yourself hormonally, and you don't have to worry about, I can't lose weight because I'm hormonally imbalanced. Addressing the thyroid, addressing the adrenals, addressing your estrogen, your progesterone, are second-hand gimmicks. If you address your health, if you address the fundamentals of your health, your hormonal system followed suit. Just because we in science, in nutritional science, have isolated hormones, can synthesize hormones, can test for hormones, we've all of a sudden jumped into the bandwagon of, well, we know these things are real important, and we know these things are related to your health and your metabolism and your high fat burning state, and since we can synthesize them, we're going to stuff them into your body. This is a little myopic. We've got about a 1% understanding in terms of what we call the hormonal symphony. And I'm sorry, I'll just say it straight. Well, maybe I shouldn't, but let me say this. It's the fundamentals that work. If you want to do the herbs, if you want to do the special things that people do, from injecting human growth hormone to different types of herbs to different types of isolates, do them. But do them on the back of all the fundamentals. Ice the cake with it. Don't drive the train. It's the icing. It's not the cake. The cake without the icing without the cake, it's just sugar. So understand, really, what the concept is. The concept is to use nutrition in terms of herbs, plant medicines, in terms of all these synthetic isolates, human growth hormone, and the like, to enhance. Don't get fooled into this anti-aging nonsense. Going and spending thousands and thousands of dollars on human growth hormone and testosterone and this and that and the other thing, it's a first base move. It's better than nothing. It'll never hit the home run. If you're into that, do it on the back of this. That's the concept. That's what will deliver you. Bunch of concepts, huh? Oxidative profile, understanding satiety, fat burning, starvation, understanding insulin resistance, leptin resistance, understanding how to ratio out your proteins, your carbs, your fats. Here's another one, just when you thought we were done with major principles. Bile flow. Congested gallbladder means congested lymph. There's a relationship between the intercellular space. If you're going to dissolve fat, if you're going to dissolve fat and you're going to dissolve the toxins in the fat, you better be moving lymph and you better be moving bile. Because if you can't move lymph and you can't move bile, the toxic load of dissolving fat is not cost-effective for the body, and your brain will stop the process. Wow. I can't believe, you know, I didn't even want to do this show. This is such old hat to me that it didn't interest me, but I'm so glad I did it. I like those shows where we dig up stuff from way back when and pull out a plum. I love those kind of shows. I barely wanted to do this show. I am so happy I did this show. Because if you really look at the principles here, they're beautiful. When was the last time somebody told you, if you want to lose weight, flush your gallbladder? When was somebody told you, move your lymph? Add it to these other principles. Let alone, what's the reason? The reason is, the brain's up there. It's watching this whole cascade on January 4th. You're out there on the track, and your bile's congested, and your lymph's congested. If you dissolve that fat, and you release the dioxin locked into your fat, and all these lipophilic, benzene-derived garbage carcinogens that's stored in your fat so that you don't get sick, so that it doesn't go into your bone marrow where you will get a leukemia, and you can't move that out through the bile, you can't move that out through the lymph, your brain will not let you burn the fat. You have to have a way. Remember, fat's not fat. Fat, in Los Angeles society, in industrial techno world, is a cesspool of filth. Sorry to say it, but it's true. Your fat is a very, very high concentration of garbage. That is a self-preservation mechanism that we have verified time and time and time again. From styrene to dioxin to all the polycyclic aromatics to all the lipophilic pesticides, it doesn't matter. Stored in your fat is a potpourri of what, well, we're glad it's in the fat, because if it wasn't in the fat, it would be in the bone marrow. And when you try to lose weight, your body's got to have a place to put those chemicals. So you've got to get yourself into a high fat burning state by flushing that gallbladder. Hit show number 20 on the gallbladder. Hit my recent shows on moving the lymph. You've got to add that in, which brings us to gallbladder flushing, which brings us to using hydrochloric acid and potassium to move the lymph, to make the macrophage more aggressive. And you know what? That's your first 25%. That's your first 25 pounds. If you've got 60 pounds to lose, just what we've covered today is the first 30 pounds. But everybody knows that place. Often you get to that place where you did great. You were so happy. That 30 pounds came off real fast, and now you're stumped. You can't understand it. If you are you, and perhaps we're not going to do this show on it. Maybe we'll do next week. I want at least 30 people on the site to tell me to do this next week. Because this is part two, and it's exercise. Once you plateau, who wants to exercise when you're so fat your joints kill? When you're embarrassed to be in a gym? When people look at you funny? These gyms are ridiculous. You go in, you buy these memberships. If you're not Charles Atlas, people look at you funny. Everybody's got this slight condescension. It's so foolish. It's so unfortunate. You got to exercise to get to the second half. That exercise, I think we may cover next week. I'll wait to hear from you. That's the show. If you're confused still, you've got the number, 714-850-1077, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. See you next week. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.